Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome in to a Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, glad to be here with you. Jad Chambers here as well. He's manning the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which is excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. It is a Royals day off and a day for us to sort of, you know, take account of things as they get a win in the series finale of the Angels. We said they needed to win a bunch of those six games. They won five of them. Not too shabby. We'll get things reset here before they start what will be a gauntlet of a schedule for 3 weeks. But we'll get into that. We'll get into a Chiefs game day. Any final thoughts for the Chiefs as they finish up the preseason tonight? The starters, of course, getting ready for the Ravens, but that doesn't mean there isn't a lot on the line for a lot of different players tonight in that game. So we'll get through that as well. Our buddy Tim Fitzgerald will join us top of the next hour, our K-State insider. Continue to make some final preparations, get some final thoughts ahead of K-State. Next week's a game week. Next week, we'll get Wyatt Thompson in here to talk about K-State. We'll reconnect with our KU insiders. We'll have Chiefs. Hey, next week is really the takeoff week that we build to every summer, and we're really excited about that. And you just throw in a playoff baseball chase, Tommy, and this is sort of uncharted territory for this version of the show. We're really excited about it as well. Your calls welcome, of course, on the IHOP hotline. Your video comments are welcome as well. We got a lot of folks that watch us on 12 News Connected, a lot of folks that watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave us comments on any of those platforms. We'll get them out over the air. It's an easy way to communicate with us if you're away from your radio. Of course, if you're away from your radio, you can also listen to the program on the Odyssey app. If you're not able to listen in the present, you can listen from the future. We put this thing in podcast form for you right there on the Odyssey app as well. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Good to be here today. Looking forward to jumping right into it. As you mentioned, you ran through the list of everything, a lot to get to. So excited about it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Tommy, how jealous are you that you've been missing out on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays?
I didn't even know this was a thing until I saw you post on X last night about it.
It wasn't a thing.
Okay.
So 2 weeks ago, Savage was in his Hawaiian, which I appreciate so much, and I felt very jealous, so I ran and grabbed one for the rest of the show. And then yesterday, right before the show, he's like, we should do Hawaiian shirts every Wednesday. And I'm like, that is the best idea I've heard in a long time. And I do marketing stuff professionally. I'm like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. So now it's a thing. We're full steam ahead on Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays. I thought you would be on board with this as somebody who appreciates a Hawaiian, as somebody who should, you know, get that out on the streets. Who wouldn't want to get on board and be a sponsor for Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays? I think we got like a new Hawaiian restaurant coming to town. We got all kinds of opportunities here for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I will actually participate in that. You're not going to, you know, catch me in a Hawaiian shirt. Doesn't really seem like something that, you know, would really work for me. But from a marketing perspective, sure. Like, you know, if there's a sponsor out there that would like to be the title sponsor of Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays, I'll gladly work with them to make that happen. You just won't catch me dead in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
No, you won't.
It is a statement. It's a life statement.
Look, there's a lot of things that I embrace as being now at a point in my life where I'm a middle-aged dad, but a Hawaiian shirt is not one of them. But I think that, you know, I know that you can, if you're watching the video stream, you're only seeing like from the chest up from both you and I. But I just need to know, when you're rocking the Hawaiian shirt, are you also rocking the tall socks and sandals? Is that part of the ensemble?
No.
Because it
no,
should be. Like that completes everything.
Wear. That's not a dad thing. Like, kids are the ones.
No. I'm talking like the brown sandals, like with the tall white socks. Like, that's not
Birkenstocks. I have Birkenstocks. No, I don't ever wear tall socks. I we're trendsetters here. We'll do what we want. And a Hawaiian shirt, there's nothing that lets the world know that you're not afraid of a good time than wearing a Hawaiian shirt at any occasion. So Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays is in full effect. Anybody out there wants to, you know, throw a little cash at that, it's a great opportunity. Just give Tommy a call. All right, Tommy, let's start with the Royals here. 3-0 winners, perfect, you know, outcome for them. We got to see it's perfect in a lot of ways. You know, I think you weren't here yesterday. The loss was, it's not good to see, but we learned a lot through it. We learned that the underbelly of the bullpen is just flat, not very good. We learned that it will be interesting down the stretch to see the Royals play from behind late in the game and how they try to navigate that part of their bullpen, because none of them are pitching well right now. And then a day later in the win, we learn and are reminded, but the good part of the bullpen's been good. And maybe Schreiber, who wasn't, you know, he wasn't lights out yesterday, but he got the job done. And Urcig, of course, continues to be flat lights out. And Lorenzen was great. I mean, that was as good a start as he's had all year. He was really, really good. That's what, you know, that's certainly the formula for not just the Royals, for a lot of teams to win. You get your starter deep into a game and you go to the good part of their bullpen. But it is, it wasn't that long ago, Tommy, where this seems like Captain Obvious, but it wasn't that long ago where we didn't know if they would have this, right? They had a lot of games where their starters got them deep into a game and then they couldn't hold on. And so it is good to see it now. What, you know, 4 or 5 times here where we've seen them be able to hand it off to at least 2 or 3 guys in the bullpen and see the job get completed on that end. We saw that yesterday, and the day before we saw the exact opposite.
Yeah. And really, like, you go back to around the trade deadline with all the moves that JJ Piccolo made, and outside of Hunter Harvey, you know, who is obviously injured right now and on the IL, all 3 acquisitions, you know, have really come to play as of late. Paul DeJong had a home run earlier in this series against the Angels that was crucial in that opening game. And then Lorenzen pitched fantastic last night, and Urcig has been pretty dominant and, you know, has shut the door multiple times for this team since the trade deadline. So 3 out of the 4 acquisitions have been really, really good for the Royals, and they look like, you know, obviously solid and crucial, important adds to this team, additions to this team. And last night was, again, another example of that. Lorenzen pitched great, and that's been, you know, such a great development for the Royals, and especially considering that once you get outside of the top of that rotation, Alec Marsh had moments as the 5th starter, but it was so inconsistent. And Michael Lorenzen, now on a team that, you know, is a contender and, you know, is going to make a playoff push, has shown why the Royals brought him in and provides a, more of that veteran presence. You know, he's somebody that you can trust. And he, you know, pitched, what, 7 innings last night, no runs, 4 hits. And that's about all you can ask for from your 5th starter in the rotation, in the veteran Michael Lorenzen. By the way, you talked about the bullpen. And, of course, Urcig is phenomenal and should pitch the 9th inning for the rest of the season and into the postseason. There's no doubt in my mind.
The high leverage
9th inning save opportunities should be just the automatic guy for the rest of the year, because he's been so fantastic. It's good to see Schreiber come in and be good. I agree with you. He wasn't great last night, but, you know, he pitched the 8th and, you know, walked one guy, but didn't give up any hits, didn't allow any runs to score. And then I know that you like Chris Bubich as well, as, you know, maybe another high leverage guy. Those three players, those three pitchers in the bullpen, I know it's not realistic to think this, but, man, I wish they could pitch every night. I wish they could pitch the end of a game every single night.
So we went over that. You know, they will in the postseason. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. You just got to get there. In the postseason, that's what will happen,
right?
Like, that you only need a handful once you get to the postseason, but you still got to get there. And the trouble with that loss to the Angels is, I mean, you cannot be that bad, because the Royals were getting back into that game, right? Like, they were bailing out their starter. The offense was, and the bullpen never let them do it. Like, you cannot be that bad through 4 different guys. You, in the postseason, it's irrelevant, right? You're not going to hand the ball to anybody else unless you're way, way down early in a game. You're only going to see, most likely, a handful of guys out of the bullpen anyway. So, but you do still have to get there, right? And the starters are not what they once were. What I love about what Lorenzen brings, and, you know, we can call him a 5th starter all day. I don't think of really, I'm starting to just blend them all like 1A through E, because we saw Reagan struggle the night before, even as he's bailed them out a couple of times. I don't even know if it matters to stack them, because all of them, all 5 of them, are capable of what Lorenzen gave them last night. All 5 of them are capable of what Reagan's gave them the night before. And
I think I just call him a 5th starter, by the way, because he came in for Alec Marsh.
I know, and that's the fifth starter. But I hear, and I'm like, you know what? Like, because at this point, honestly, I would say, like, maybe Reagan's, but I don't know. Even then, like, I'm not sure I would say any one over the other. Like, if you were starting game 1 right now, based on what we've seen the last, let's call it a month. I mean, I don't think that stacking is definitive anymore. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. It's still a positive. It's as much about all of them being good as it is the top of them not being quite as good as they once were. They've almost lifted that floor up a little bit. Maybe the ceiling has come down, at least the consistency of it. But look, I think you basically just kind of have 1A through E. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't get into a game. I'm not looking ahead at the schedule anymore like we were for a long time, and caring a whole hell of a lot the way the rotation stacks up for a series.
Yeah.
The Royals have 5 dudes that you'll take any day. And, you know, again, nobody's bullpen is perfect, by the way. Nobody has 6 good relievers on their team. This isn't just a Royals problem, but you're in the middle of what's going to be almost certainly a wildly intense playoff chase. So everybody's got to find a way. Those 2-3 wins that you can get to go one way or the other based on a bullpen are probably going to have a massive impact on how this thing shakes out. Kansas City now 2.5 games back in the Central Division. That is very attainable with 7 games left against Cleveland head-to-head. They are tied. They remain tied with Minnesota, Boston. In fact, I think... Hang on just a second. Give me 2 seconds, because I think what I'm looking at here, I think, is like out of date, which is very bizarre.
Well, they are 2.5 back of Cleveland.
Yeah, 2.5.
Cleveland lost last night.
Here's my wild card. 2.5, and then they are now 3.5. This is what was out of date. The wild card that I was looking at was out of date. They're 3.5. That's what I thought. Up on Boston. Seattle has fallen to... Seattle's still really good, but I think they've fallen to a point where we can sort of not pay attention to them for just a minute, right? They're 7.5 games. As great as their starting pitching is, they cannot figure it out. They're 7.5 back now. You don't worry about them, I don't think, at the moment. Tampa, I would put in that same category. So it's Boston. So basically, you're 3.5 clear of Boston going into this stretch of games we've talked about. But Baltimore / the Yankees are attainable for that top wild card spot, and the division is now attainable. I would just remind people, though, all of this happened while being able to beat up on teams you're supposed to beat up. And they did. They took 5 out of 6. I don't want to get overly excited when the schedule coming up is the schedule that's coming up either. Like, I think it's, you know, you've got to be realistic based on what we've seen over the course of a season. And what we've seen over the course of a season is the Royals are good at beating bad teams. And they are about a 500 team against good teams. And they're about to play 20 of them in a row. So, you know, take the standings today with a grain of salt. Let's talk about the standings on September 12th, which is a day off, after they finish that series in New York.
Yeah, but look, I think that it really comes down to who do you believe the Royals actually are? You know, do you believe that they are legitimate contenders? Or do you believe that they are pretenders? Are they contenders or pretenders? And that's going to, I think, determine the expectations on this really difficult stretch of ball games. If you think that they're pretenders, then the ceiling is probably 500 against this stretch of teams that you're playing with. That's probably the ceiling if you don't think that they are as good as the other best teams in Major League Baseball. Because remember, there's a lot of parity. There are not any like truly dominant teams in Major League Baseball this year. But if you believe right. that they're a legitimate contender, I'm not sure that 500 is the ceiling. I think that it could be over.
Oh, it's not the ceiling.
It could be over 500.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go into this stretch of baseball games and just think, man, if they can scratch out 500 baseball between now and that stretch, like, we should be feeling pretty good. No, I think that they're better than that. I think that they're a better baseball team than that. I think they've got so much talent in their rotation. The middle of the lineup is probably the best in the league. You know, they've got a dominant closer now. Sure, there are holes and deficiencies, but every team in Major League Baseball has holes and deficiencies. So I don't want to be, you know, overly optimistic, because yes, let's give credit where credit is due. It is a extremely difficult stretch of baseball coming up between now and the middle of September. It truly is. But if we really believe in it, and I do, I really truly believe at this point, I've seen what I need to see from the Royals to know that they have the talent and the ability to be a legitimate contender in the American League this year, then I think that they should go and probably will go better than 500 in this stretch. Now, maybe not by a whole lot, but I know that for a while, our conversations kind of centered around, okay, well, you know, let's look at this, you know, group of games coming up. And you know, if they get to 500 in that stretch, we got to be feeling pretty good. And I think they can do better than that. And I think they will do better than that.
Well, they absolutely can do better than that. It's not that they can't. It's that the season tells us that it's not super likely. I hope they do better than that too. I absolutely believe they're capable of being better than that. I'm just trying to be realistic to like the postseason chances. We've had an entire season almost to tell us that really them and every team in baseball, like if you go 500 against really good teams, you're probably in good shape as long as you're beating up on the other teams, and they are. So I would be perfectly content with 10-10. I think that will be good enough. Ken found it. I was looking for it. Their record against teams above 500 right now is 27-35. So they're 8 games under. I don't think that changes the expectation of what you should do. And I'll take your word for it, Ken, because I was just trying to find that record this year at 27-35. It has been a problem for this team, but this was my point, because I think it was Ken that, you know, brought this up, the White Sox thing a few weeks ago. That's been every team in baseball just
sure.
about. So,
and how many of those games happened before they acquired Lorenzen and Ursig
correct.
And
yeah,
DeYoung?
That's absolutely right. How many of those games happened before the bullpen at least had the capability of preserving a lead?
How many of those games happened when Vinny Pasquantino was not hitting.
Correct.
And Hunter Renfro was not hitting. And, you know, all the issues that they had.
That's why I don't want to say, oh, well, they're, you know, whatever the equivalent of eight games, 500 over that stretch versus 12. That's not the point. The point is, if you can go 500 in a stretch of game, that's going to be good for any team that faces a gauntlet like they're about to face. And that, while I would love to see them be better than that, I think it's hard to picture them being better than that the way we've seen this baseball season play out. I don't even know that I would say this team is streaky anymore. There was a point in the season where if you told me, like, hey, they'd be on a hot streak, I'd be like, well, they may win a ton of these games.
And they were matchup dependent. They were absolutely matchup dependent. They're not. I don't think they're matchup dependent anymore.
I don't either. But I think the reality is they play good teams. And so you have to take that into consideration. And I cannot wait for the challenge of it. It'll be stressful in all the right ways, and it'll be fun. We'll get more into that in the second hour. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's get final thoughts before the Chiefs game tonight. It is a preseason finale. No, it doesn't mean anything for the starters, but it does mean something for the team, for the roster, and they'll have some decisions to make. So we'll get into that as we make our way through. It's Sports Daily on a Thursday. Glad to be here with you, everybody. Want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always bringing us a great cup of coffee at the KFH and Odyssey Studios. A little Chiefs talk coming your way next. Hey, all that baseball talk you just heard on KFH about the Royals, brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks for listening on KFH. Thanks for watching on 12 News Connected. Having a little fun here on a Thursday. We get ready for, we'll call it Thursday Night Football, Chiefs-Bears. You'll hear that game, by the way, over on KNSS. I don't think we're going to get Caleb Williams. That would have been fun. But, you know, it is this game. And while it means the least for the starters traditionally in the NFL, it doesn't mean the least for the team. Tommy, it probably means the most for the team because it will, you know, contribute in and factor into deciding final roster spots. And, you know, I've been kind of racking my brain a little bit of like, thinking of an example of a player that would have made it there that has become a main contributor. I think Isaiah Pacheco probably becomes the obvious answer of a guy who would have been right on the line somehow that really impressed through a preseason in this portion that became an absolutely integral part to winning a Super Bowl. He to me becomes the most obvious answer. And I'm sure there are more that I'm not thinking of, but, you know, there are players that will be added to the roster based on a performance in this game, most likely that will one way or another largely impact what the Chiefs are able to do as they try to win a third straight Super Bowl.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that, you know, really being able to evaluate the bottom of the roster, I mean, that's really what the final preseason game is all about, figuring out, you know, any kind of final decisions and who's going to go where, who's going to make the team, who might be a practice squad player, that sort of thing. I think that we'll get a lot more clarity from that after tonight's game and probably even during tonight's game. I think snap counts will be able to provide a little bit of insight in what the Chiefs are trying to assess and figure out in tonight's game. I'll tell you one thing that I'm kind of looking forward to is I don't know exactly how long in the game it's going to be, but the way that Carson Wentz plays and the number of snaps that he's got under center, because you know, God forbid anything happening to Patrick Mahomes, but I think that they've got, you know, a capable backup quarterback on the roster. We haven't gotten to see a whole lot out of Wentz in the preseason. There's been a little bit here and there, but, you know, I think by all accounts, from what I've heard, he's going to start the game tonight. I don't know how long he'll play, like I said. But I want to see what he can bring, you know, to the table, because having a quality backup in today's NFL, I mean, it was just a season ago, the number of different starting quarterbacks that went down throughout the season with backups coming in and replacing them, I think was at an all-time high a year ago. And
it was a lot.
And so, you know, it wasn't Patrick Mahomes, but you never know when that sort of thing might happen. And so having a capable backup, you know, is that much more important. And I really believe, of course, the Chiefs had the luxury for a few years having Chad Henne backing up Patrick Mahomes, and Henne was absolutely a capable backup.
They've had great backups.
I don't know if I mean, I wouldn't put Blaine Gabbert up, you know, on that pedestal. We didn't see much from Gabbert last year.
No.
I think it was absolutely a step down from Chad Henne. And I think Carson Wentz gives you a little bit higher of a ceiling for that.
So, who was it before Henne? Matt Moore?
Matt Moore was there. They've had a handful of other guys.
Yeah, they've always been pretty good at that position. I don't. You know, is it a Lodakun? A guy I've literally never heard of before this preseason.
He's probably a practice squad, you know, candidate, I would think. I mean, I think that's probably where he
would slot in. Carson Wentz was brought in to be the backup. I would love to see Carson Wentz earn it to some degree.
Yeah.
I think I like Carson Wentz. I like his story. I like where he came from. But I also... like Ian Book's there, Olodokun's there. If the Chiefs could solve that position long term, it'd be nice, you know. But Wentz is a safety measure. I would like to see them all play a lot tonight. No Mahomes, it gets you an extra quarter basically versus what you've had in the other games. And it is important. I agree with you. It's important because we see backups have to play. We've seen the backups have to come in for Kansas City.
Yeah.
Years they've won a Super Bowl. So I'm with you there. I think I gave you the most obvious, like, you know, not guaranteed roster guy that has come in to be a key contributor. I go right back there, Tommy, with what if Isaiah Pacheco misses time? Can Denarik Prince be that guy? I mean, I think we'd like to think he can be. I think most people are more excited about his prospects than Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point. So, maybe again, that's something to watch. Can he continue to look good and give you confidence? Because they are thin at that position. Now, I, again, would tell you that I think they're going to sling it more than they have. Go back a little old school, kick it old school a little bit. I don't think they'll run the ball quite as much this year as they have in the past, just by design. And again, I think that'll be intentional on their part. But it is still an important spot because Isaiah Pacheco runs violently. Isaiah Pacheco is one of the more likely players to at least need to miss some time this year. So that's an easy spot to look at. Offensive line's too obvious. And then we've talked for a week about wide receiver. That will be the most high profile tonight of what we're watching for. Can anybody make a play? Can anybody not make a mistake in some instances? You know, can Kadarius Toney, can Sky Moore, those two, can either of them have a big showing with a big opportunity that reminds us why the Chiefs invested what they invested in those guys? Like, all of those things are on a far more obvious display. Less obvious, that's where I mean, depth in the defensive backfield, they haven't been fully healthy. Steve Spagnuolo talked about this. It was either yesterday or the day before. It's been hard for him to truly evaluate the defensive backfield because they haven't been healthy in the defensive backfield yet. Reed is back now and has said himself that he will play in the opener on
social media. That's a game changer,
media.
I think having Reed be available, whether he's at 100% or not, I mean, he can be an impact player.
Sure.
Whether or not he's 100% if he's just on the field.
No question. But what it does highlight is that they have not had a true look at that spot on the roster yet. And so there's opportunity, I would imagine, at that group tonight to show something. And not that I think Reed's going to play tonight. He's not. I just mean, like, that is a very unsettled position group, I would say, on the roster right now.
I do want to jump in there really quick because I don't know if unsettled is the word that I would use. I think that it is a secondary that we know has a significant amount of talent. I just don't at this point exactly know how, like, the snap counts are going to divvy out with those players. Because I think, and I know you probably didn't intend this, but when I hear unsettled, you know, I think, well, there's maybe some controversy and we don't exactly know how, you know, the players are going to, if they're going to be successful or not. I think that there's going to be a lot of success in that secondary. I just don't exactly know who slots in to what place at this point? I mean, Chamari Connor and Josh Williams and Jalen Watson, all of those guys are, you know, looks like they're going to see increased play and increased roles this year. But to what level, I think that remains to be seen.
I would bet you this. I'll bet you somebody that plays significant snaps in the secondary tonight ends up being a pretty key part of that secondary by the end of the year. When I say unsettled, I mean, I don't think we know exactly how that group is going to shake out. We know the starters, we know the mainstays, but I still think it's going to be a battle into the season for the second and third corner spots. Safety, they feel good. I think most people like the Washington State safety with Reed. I think that one's fine. But at corner, I think some of these guys that are out there tonight are going to end up being big time snap guys by the end of the year. And they haven't had, it's hard. That's very much a let's see this group work together position on the field, right? There's a lot of trust involved in the secondary. So I think that one, not that you can look and, to the naked eye during a game, you don't even see what's happening unless you're watching the all 22s a lot of the time in the secondary. And then the pass rush, the pass rush is something that will be a challenge probably well into the regular season. Who it is, is there a diamond in the rough out there? If Felix Anudike Uzomah continues to go slowly, is there a diamond in the rough that could step up? This is the kind of game where you might see that. Mitch Holthus was talking about this very thing with Steve and Ted today and for the game tonight. Let's get you some of that, of what he's looking for and what he had to say based on what to expect out of this particular preseason game.
The obvious ones are wide receiver. Nothing's changed since our first report a month ago. And that is, there is a race of about five guys for two, maybe three slots. But that means two prominent names will go bye-bye or try to get snuck through on the practice squad. Offensive line concerns me right now more than anything. Joe Tooney, of our starters, who will not play tonight. We have a rookie at left tackle. Joe Tooney's coming back from a pectoral injury, surgery, and did not practice a little bit in the preseason. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and they were messing with Trey's knee the other day. And we got right tackle Juwan Taylor, who's got a rotator cuff injury on his shoulder. All right. Then there's the second group. That's the group that's disappointed so far. And they've got to show up tonight. Juanye Morris, Lucas Niang, Mike Caliendo, C.J. Hansen, down the line here. Hunter Norzad. They have not been very good the first two games. They've got to be good tonight. Because, boys, if we're going to pull this off, think Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. That's how far we have to go, and you better get some O-line depth. You're going to need it. We're going to need it.
Every team needs it. In a perfect world, Juanye Morris, I suppose, right now is your swing lineman, and you've got, seven really with Niang that you feel really good about, and they're healthy. And you hope that seven's enough. It usually is not, but maybe it is, right? Both of those guys, I think, can play. I don't know who backs up Creed Humphrey. I have no idea. But Niang and Morris can essentially give you a backup at every offensive line position. Is that enough? I don't know. Probably they're going to need at least one more, would be my guess. And that, then again, that becomes a key position. Anytime you're, if Tooney, who was injured in the preseason, misses time and somebody else is nicked up and you're getting down, there's always a chance you could have an unknown starting a game at any course of the regular season. And while that's not overly troublesome in a vacuum, it is when you're protecting Patrick Mahomes, the most valuable asset in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that, that depth piece for offensive line is going to be a really important piece of what the Chiefs are going to need. Maybe not today, but in a couple of months from now, maybe even further down the line, having some additional depth is going to be important. And versatility from whoever that player is. Because, if Joe Tooney continues to have a lingering injury and maybe it something gets re-aggravated or something, you might need a player to play guard. You might need somebody to cover one of the tackle positions. It's interesting, for a while, I was an advocate, and I'm not going to lie about it, I was an advocate for the Chiefs at least taking another swing at Donovan Smith. He's still unsigned. He's familiar with the offense. You know what you're going to get out of him, and so he could provide potentially a depth piece. I backed off of that a lot because the more that I thought about it, I think a huge reason why he has remained unsigned by any team, including the Chiefs, is the penalties that he brings to the table. That's what that's the biggest knock on him, is that he's going to draw penalties all the time. Jawan Taylor also draws a lot of penalties. And so if you have those two guys on the field, which that happened a lot last year, you know, they were probably the most penalized duo in the National Football League. And so in that regard, I do understand why the Chiefs have not been willing to go down that path. Again, even though they might be needing some depth on the O-line, I would anticipate that if they do need to look in that direction, that they might go for maybe another veteran as opposed to Donovan Smith, even though he's got the familiarity with the offense.
I think the biggest tip of the cap to Wanya Morris was probably no interest in bringing anybody else in. Wanya Morris, if he ends up being the swing guy, I don't think it's like a knock on Morris. I think the fact that they've just not done anything else tells you they're pretty confident in him. And while Jawan Taylor is still your right tackle at the moment, I'm not convinced Morris and Suamataya don't become the bookends before the end of this season. I think it's entirely possible. We'll come back. Another topic that, you know, is out there now in the head, and I think this is a big, I know there were a lot of jokes about it, but Jalen Daniels and Lance Leipold this week has confirmed he will be the starter in week one. I actually think that's moderately significant. I think everybody laughed it off like, well, duh, of course he is. And I'm over here like, we hadn't heard that, you know, come out of the coach's mouth before. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Of course, we got some K-State football talk coming top of the next hour with Tim Fitzgerald as well. Lots of stuff to get to. We'll give away some HTO on the program as well today. Stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back again, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. I appreciate Crestview's support. Great time to get out and golf. Great time to get out and play a little tennis. Check out all the weekly food specials there at the Crestview Restaurant and Bar. Get over there, take a tour, check it out. Tell them we sent you here at Sports Daily. Always appreciate their support. Tommy, we'll get more into this in the second hour. Is it a needle mover for you at all to get the official announcement from Leipold that Jalen Daniels is good to go for week one? For me, it moves the needle in the sense that sigh of relief, all, you know, full steam ahead, everything appears to be okay with his back. I mean, I think it's of significance.
Well, it's good to get that confirmation from Coach Leipold. And I think that really just stems from last season when there was quite a bit of uncertainty and nobody was really talking.
Absolutely.
It wasn't that, you know, the injury news one way or another was you know, that notable. I mean, it was notable for sure, but like we knew he was hurt because he wasn't playing, but there wasn't any sort of official designation, right? It was always like week to week and not exactly sure what's going to happen. And then you didn't really even know until the game started. And then even then you didn't know. There were a couple of games that Daniel suited up for last year and then never got in the game. And so like I remember there were fans that were trying to like decipher what was going to happen based on like they would watch for him out on the field during pregame warmups. Was he in uniform? Was he throwing passes? They would try to look at the video board and see if the PA announcer, you know, who he was announcing as the starter. Like there was so much uncertainty because there wasn't a whole lot of talk about it from Lance Leipold or Jalen Daniels. It took, you know, everything to kind of reach a fever pitch for Jalen Daniels to release a video. Like there was all this like speculation that he was going to transfer and all of that. So I do think putting all that to rest before week one starts for sure, I think is notable.
It is. Last year, they wouldn't ever say he was going to play. This year, they start the season by saying he's going to play. Yeah. That matters, right? You can beat around the bush all you want. And we assume if he's going to Big 12 media days and all these things, and he's out there at camp, but we assumed a lot last year, you know, what assumptions, you know, what they say about that. Yeah. And he just wouldn't play. And so it's like, okay, now we get the confirmation from a coach who is very much a non-believer in talking about these things to the media. He doesn't give you anything as far as it comes to, it's like Bill Snyder out there. Okay, good. He's playing. Now you can, if you're a KU fan, you can begin to breathe a sigh of relief and get ready for a season in which, if Jalen Daniels were able to play the entire thing, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Right? Sky's the limit. And so we'll see in week one, is it playing a full game against, was it Lindenwood?
Can, correct. You
know, does he play the full game? Does he only play a little bit? And then we can leave a little bit of speculation that he's not 100%. Like, we're still going to have questions until you get into the meat of the schedule, which comes quickly. But I just don't know how, and it's, I think it's KU fans being a little bit defensive, if we're being perfectly honest, that like, why are we even talking about this? Of course he's going to play. Like, yeah, it's fine. Like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. But it's not. Everything's not fine. Jalen Daniels has not played much football the last couple of years. He is one of the best players in the country. We got to see him play. And we'll get that chance, and I'm really glad to see it. I man, there are a lot of things I'm hoping for this year. Him playing a full season is right at the top of the list. The sky is the limit on what that guy can do. I cannot wait for it, and I hope he's fully healthy from the back. But at least we know we'll get our first look next week on that. We'll get, you know, more on that next week, of course. But that news did come down. I agree. I think it's of massive significance. There is not a more significant thing to the KU football season than the health of Jalen Daniels. So, yeah, you get confirmation that he's going to be the starter. That makes you feel better about a back injury.
I also think that it's important to note that really I think what makes it even that much more crucial for the Jayhawks is they don't have – the safety net or the security blanket of Jason Bean anymore. And Jason Bean, yeah, was up and down.
The
and
strangest wild, security blanket was, of all time.
You know, there were a lot of things that were really uncomfortable about the way Jason Bean played football. But he was dynamic and he was capable. Yep. And a lot of times with a lot of programs, there's a significant drop-off from number one to number two as far as quarterback. And there was
like
a drop-off, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a significant drop-off where Jason Bean could still lead them to an extent. They don't have Bean anymore. They have Cole Ballard, and Cole Ballard,
I like Ballard,
probably will take another step forward this year, and that helps a lot. But he's not Jason Bean. And so you do have...
He's not Jalen Daniels.
He's not Jalen
right?
Daniels. Like, so you do probably have a larger drop-off from Daniels to Ballard this year than you did from Daniels to Bean.
Yeah, I think that's a little... I think that's hard to predict. But you know there's a drop-off after Jalen Daniels. That is clear. I mean, that's crystal clear. Every program in the country would have a drop-off after Jalen Daniels.
Remember, Jason Bean at one point was the starter and Jalen Daniels was his backup. So, you know, like there was obviously a lot that Jason Bean could bring to the team. There were things he did that were not great. But, it, you know, you kind of have to take the good with the bad with him. They don't have that this year. The Jason Bean journey is done.
Jalen Daniels can win a Heisman. It's that simple. If he plays full season, he can win a Heisman, right? That's how good he is. And I'm not – go look at the odds. Vegas agrees. Like, he is a legitimate bona fide Heisman candidate. So, yeah, when he plays coming off a back injury, that news is significant. Glad to get it, and I can't wait to see him play. 869-1240, we'll talk a little K-State football when we come back. Our buddy Tim Fitzgerald joins the program for his weekly Thursday visit. Don't go away.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hour number two here on Sports Daily. Joining us on the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th is our K-State insider. He's publisher of GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on X. Tim Fitzgerald joins us as we are counting down the days now. What are we, a week and just a little bit of change from the start of the college football season? And K-State right square smack in the middle of a team I think the entire nation has an eye on as a team that could contend for a playoff spot, as a team with a potential Heisman candidate at quarterback that has gained some national acclaim. But it is a season to be – where would you rank this, Fitz, on as far as August 22nds go for K-State football? How does this power rank in – for as far as excitement going into a season and the prospects out there? I would say the most ever, mostly because of an expanded playoff. I don't know. You can correct me on this if I'm wrong. Have there been many seasons where K-State legitimately thought they had a chance to play for a national title on August 22nd?
Yeah, I did a video about this recently, and I think you can go back to 1998. I think we knew K-State was a national title contender for that. I think it's different this year because of this social media, the growth of sports talk radio, the growth of all the programming. And I think fans can, you know, with social media, feed themselves into a frenzy without any of us being involved. And I think that's what's different. We just didn't have that in 98. And, you know, the playoff thing adds another layer. Because back then, you know, to contend for a national title, you had to be in the top two, which K-State was for a while. But now with being able to get to 12, and if you're in the, you know, supposedly in the top 12, you're going to probably be in the playoff. And that's a huge step for the program to get into the bracket. And the bracket's bigger now. It changes the context, but it's still into the bracket with a chance to win it all. So, yeah, I think this is it, guys. I don't think there's been a player as anticipated as Avery Johnson in football in the history of this program to see what he does as a full-time starter.
You know, big picture, Fitz, looking at Chris Klieman's tenure at Kansas State, you know, even with the large expectations that are there for the Wildcats this year, I mean, Klieman's done phenomenal work, don't get me wrong, but in his tenure, he's only won 9 games one time, and he's never won more than 9 games in a season. I know a lot of that is the conference, and you've got Texas and OU now out of the Big 12 and all of that. But what do you think it's going to take for the Wildcats, big picture-wise, to get over that hump? And I know Avery Johnson's going to be a large part of it. I don't know if he's the only part of it, though.
Yeah. You can't skip steps. I mean, honestly, every team on your schedule can beat you, including Tennessee Martin on August 31st. And if you go back to the Big 12 championship year, they lost to Tulane, which was a great football team, but you lost to them on your home field in the non-conference. And without that loss, you're probably, you know, you're going to be over that 10-win mark. And so you just got to, you know, pay attention to every step along the way. And that gets a little bit different now in the context of the Big 12, because I think there might be more programs that you can sleep on and maybe think, oh, we got this. You know, we just beat this team. We're not going to problem with this team. That's not how it works. Every game is a self-contained environment, and you better pay attention 12 times in a row or someone's going to get you.
The context of the playoff is the key, and that's what I keep going back to. And bigger than K-State, there aren't a lot of years in any in college football for any program where you have an actual chance to win a title. I mean, it just doesn't exist. The reality over the history has been that way. Now it doesn't exist, and that's why I think there are probably shows just like this all around the country. I mean, we'd say the same thing. The same thing exists for KU. All around the country, people feel this way, though. And this is why I always say we'll look back in 5 years and scratch our heads. And I think even the dissenters that would make, in my mind, what is an absolutely ridiculous claim that it will take away from the regular season. I think they'll look back at this and be like, man, what have we been doing?
I'm with you, brother. I think it adds to the regular season.
Of course it does.
A ton. I mean, now you've got teams that had no prospect of making the playoff. You know, maybe you lost a head-to-head game in the regular season that's going to preclude you from getting to your championship game of your conference. You know, if you're in the Big 12, you would have no chance of making the bracket in all likelihood. So now at 12, now at 12, they just expand the hope of so many programs that we just got to get in the bracket. And I keep coming back to this. If you made a New Year's Six Bowl 3 years in a row, people might notice, you know, they might that, you know, you're having good seasons, but that might be just because you're having good seasons. If you make the bracket 3 years in a row, people are going to take attention to your program, including recruits. And I think it changes the game for, you know, even if you're just a program getting into the bracket, I think that visibility is going to give you a giant boost.
You know, you mentioned Fitz, how anticipated Avery Johnson is, and he absolutely is. One of the things I've been curious about as we get closer to the season with him is we know that his run ability. We obviously know that he's got a strong arm. Do you think that the way that the Wildcats will utilize him in running, are we going to see a lot of designed runs for him set up, or is it going to be more it's pass first, and if everything else breaks down, then you'll see him break off a run?
I think a lot of the runs will be organic out of, you know, read option, those type of things, where they put defenders in a stress moment of trying to pick between him and DJ Giddens or Dylan Edwards or, you know, maybe someone on a sweep. I think that'll be the organic sense of how a lot of these runs will be. And you know, I imagine on some situations, I'll just run the quarterback draw because that's been a pretty historically effective play for Kansas State football. You know, even though these coaches are now completely disconnected from the Snyder era, they get that. They've seen it happen. So I don't know. And honestly, this is one of the things I really want to see here when the season arrives is how careful are they going to be with him, trying to keep him out of peril, keep him away from injury, and will that paralyze them and limit their play calling? We saw that a little bit in the bowl game because he was the only experienced quarterback with any experience on the roster that game, so they protected him. Will they open him up a little bit more to hits? Because you're going to have to find that balance between taking some risk and you know, not being boring and bland, because that's exactly what they did against Tulane that I just talked about 2 years ago.
Hey, Fitz, when we look at the conference as a whole, everyone's going to get cupcakes. We, you know, they'll be, and I know you talk to a lot of people that are at a lot of programs. We just talked about this right before you came on. KU, we get an official announcement that Jalen Daniels is the starter from Lance Leipold. I think that's a significant piece of news based on what we've seen. Some people laughed it off like, of course he is. But with what we've seen from Leipold, he doesn't always say stuff. He said stuff. He went out of his way to say specifically that Jalen Daniels is ready to go. But that is, you know, that's a little seismic for the league, right? I mean, you know, the difference in KU being at the top and being in the middle probably sits squarely on his shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, based on his history, yeah, I think that's a significant piece of information. And, boy, if he's healthy, man, KU's going to be really good. They're going to be special. So, you know, that's just been the question mark. So I think it is a big story. And I know a lot of people just have been saying he's healthy, but to have the head coach come out and say, he's our guy, he's ready to go, I think is very comforting to a lot of people. And they're going to be fearsome with him as a healthy quarterback. And that's going to be a real problem for everyone else in the Big 12.
I know that we won't get the official depth chart for the Wildcats until probably early to mid next week in advance of the game next Friday. And knowing that, I know we don't have any official word, but are there, in your mind, have you been able to hear about any sort of depth chart battles, position battles, that sort of thing that may go down to the wire for K-State?
That's a great question, because there aren't a whole lot. I mean, there's a backup corner spot, the backup quarterback. You know, maybe they're sorting out something at tight end. I think the line is settled. I think for the most part, the line settled on the defensive side, where being the starter isn't going to be that significant because they're going to rotate so heavily. But yeah, I think they're fairly settled in most of their starters. I think they know exactly who's the frontline guys. They're just trying to sort out some of those depth pieces. And I imagine the rotation at receiver is still up for grabs a bit, but that'll be dictated a lot by play calling. So I think this is a really settled roster for the most part, but it's been an intense battle for that backup quarterback spot between Taquan Roberson, who comes in from UConn, and Jacob Knuth, who, you know, transferred in from Minnesota a couple years ago. It's intense. They're neck and neck, and that's really good, because, you know, in this conference, you can get to your third quarterback before you know it, and that's pretty vital. So I think they're settled. I think they're in a good position. They love their depth, and I don't think the program's had this kind of depth in my memory. They really do run two deep, if not three-plus deep in some spots.
There was no question to me. Tim Fitzgerald joining us, our K-State insider, publisher, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. There was no question to me last year they were limiting Avery Johnson in what he was, I almost want to say allowed to do, but in what they were trying to have him do. Do you foresee any sort of limits for him from the coaching staff at any point this season? Does he come out of the gates just everything on the table, or do you think there is any desire to still protect him or do whatever it is that coaches feel like they need to do with a young quarterback?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, if you're going to let him go full bore the entire, you know, time he's in there, do you really want to be the guy that put your quarterback in peril against Tennessee Martin? You know, that maybe something could happen. So, but the other side of that is, injuries happen. You got to let the kid play.
Yeah.
So
especially when he hasn't, right? He hasn't done that before.
Yeah. So this is going to be something I'm really fascinated to see. How do they strike that balance of keeping him protected and also running the offense? I mean, we saw him throttled back in the bowl game and he was still effective, but it wasn't anything too awe inspiring. He had a few great plays, but there's so much more there with this kid, and do you just let him open it up and run and throw and play his game and maybe get his head knocked off? So it's going to be something they're thinking about a lot.
You know, the non-conference schedule fits, of course, starting out with Tennessee Martin next week, but then from there Tulane, and then Arizona's considered a non-conference game this season, which is interesting. And I think that really, what I had neglected to think about or realize or remember, I guess, is that both after Tennessee Martin, both Tulane and Arizona have brand new coaches this year. And so you've got a brand new philosophy and, you know, potentially a brand new scheme for both of these teams coming in. And there might be some growing pains with both Tulane and Arizona. It's been a while. It's been, I think, two or three years since the Wildcats have won all of their non-conference games before they start Big 12 play. So I think knowing that, of course, makes those initial games that much more crucial.
You're right. That's a double-edged sword right there. You also have coaching staffs that are capable of putting stuff on the field that there hasn't been film on. And I think that's a concern the K-State coaches have. They know Tulane still has a lot of talent, and now they have a different coaching philosophy, a different system. They brought in their own quarterback transfer, and it's a huge unknown. How much of that secret ingredient was Willie Fritz, because he's a brilliant coach, And if that's true, then you're going to have problems with Houston. So we'll find out what they look like. Arizona is very worrisome. They got a great quarterback receiver combination. I love Noah Fifita, and now he's going to be, you know, growing up with another philosophy from a coach. He could just erupt into something. That is going to be a very, very entertaining game between two brilliant young quarterbacks at Bill Snyder Family Stadium on that Friday night. It's going to be something else to watch. And I know the coaches are taking that very seriously, too, because that team has some talent. And Fifita is the real deal. He's a little guy, but he makes big plays.
1 week, 2 days until the opener against UT Martin. It's coming Saturday, August 31st. I mean, we'll have a more extensive preview of sorts certainly next week. But in the meantime, over this next 9-10 days, Fitz, what can we find at GoPowerCat.com?
Boy, we're ramping it up. Next week, get into the, you know, your typical game week previews and all that stuff. The wrinkle is Chris Kleiman's moved his press conference from Tuesday to Monday, so it shifts the schedule a little bit up, which I kind of like. My Mondays were pretty slow. And now we're going to get a lot of information on Monday. I hope we get the depth chart. You know, that is a concern that we'd always have it by Tuesday. Hopefully by Monday, they flipped it around after the game. But, yeah, we're just going to have a lot of coverage with a lot of preview stuff and, you know, really settle into our schedule here. And I can't believe it's game week. It just seems like yesterday it was July 4th and Tommy was out by the pool shooting off bottle rockets and his man thong. And now here we are.
Don't give him credit because he's given us grief. Savage and I yesterday determined that Wednesdays moving forward for society will be Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays. Now I will wear a Hawaiian shirt anytime. Tim, you look like a guy who appreciates a good Hawaiian. Not to stereotype you, but you do. And Tommy is trying to act too cool.
Well, it's a terrible idea.
Participate. So
we're trying to gain viewers on this video stream, not push them away.
That's valid. Jacob, that's valid.
No, it is not.
Well, I would like to point out that I was at a comedy show wearing a Tommy Bahama when the comedian started ripping on guys who wear Tommy Bahamas. It was an uncomfortable moment and a realization that I'm not nearly as cool as I think I am.
No. He and everyone misunderstands. The statement you make with a good Hawaiian is you don't care what he thinks or anybody thinks. If you're in that audience, who could you walk into the room and guarantee like that? Yep, that guy's going to have fun tonight.
You're right. Now, let me point out this wasn't a floral Tommy Bahama, but it was still Tommy Bahama. But you're right. I think
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It shows that we're here to party, and our minds are in the tropics.
Yeah.
We might be here in Kansas, but we're at the beach right now. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
It's a good point. Every Wednesday. I wish I was on Wednesdays.
But you can wear a Hawaiian shirt on Thursdays. I'll join you. I've got a closet full. The basketball recruiting scene is also hot. So go to gopowercat.com. Check all of that. K-State recruit. I saw they're in on like a top five player. Just absurd awesomeness in the recruiting world now here in the state of Kansas. Both KU and K-State. So that never stops either. Check it out. You can follow Fitz at Life of Fitz on social. We appreciate it. Next week's game week. Let's do it.
Thanks, boys. Great to hear from you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. You can find all the great work from he and his crew there as we ramp it up. It both is crazy that it's already here and cannot get here fast enough, Tommy. Like we can't, like I cannot get to this as quickly as I would like to.
The only thing that I'm a little concerned about is that we've got potential playoff baseball from the Royals, and I'm going to have to balance my
time. That adds to it. No, it adds to it.
Talk to my wife about that. Talk to my wife about adding more sports that I'm watching.
Get you a second TV in the basement. Now you can remind her that, you know, it's for work, so that you don't miss whatever the Royals are doing while football is happening. I'm telling you, that's how I won that conversation. I'm like, listen, I have a job to do here, and I need a second TV sitting next to one that already is there. And you know, Tommy, put your foot down. You know, like put your foot down here. Come on.
Have you met my wife?
I've met every man's wife. And those are all just words, right? Like they're all just words for all of us. Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. Tomorrow at HTO is buy one, get one free every Friday in August as we celebrate back to school. But if you want to win a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, if you want to win a free iced or hot coffee drink featuring free-range coffee from any Wichita Metro location. There are two, East and West Wichita and in Derby. You can text the keyword TEA right now, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Thursday. It feels like a fall Thursday, certainly, and I can't be more excited about that. In next week, you know, next week we start a weekly visit with Wyatt Thompson, hopefully with Dan Israel. We continue with Fitz. We'll have our KU insider in. We got picks. We got high school football. We're still working on our, you know, betting capabilities of some sort. Of course, we will be talking about betting no matter what. I love the fall. The fall is so dadgum much fun for what we do for a living, because every day you feel like you can't cram it all in. Like you're just like, we're out of time. Sorry, everybody. And it's great. I will not run out of time this weekend. Programming note, if you would like to listen on the Infinity Sports Network, I'll be on there Saturday from 11 to 4, this time zone. That's 5 hours. I'm not going to run out of time, but we'll have some of we'll talk to some people around the country. Get ready. I'm excited about that, too, because it is a fall preview from sort of like a national perspective, which is always fun, too, to expand out like that. But tune in if you're around. Call in. Love to hear from you. Tommy, let's talk more about the Royals. They get the day off now, so we get the gathering of things. We talked about the win, the importance of the win, and what's coming. It will open with Philadelphia, and it'll be Waka, Singer, Lugo for that series. Philadelphia's never really going to let up. I mean, I suppose you could look at it as, you know, the first game of the series against Taijuan Walker is the best opportunity. Ranger Suarez and Zach Wheeler. you hate playing Philadelphia. You really hate playing Philadelphia when you have those two on the mound. But doesn't mean you can't beat those two, certainly. I mean, you know, 10-5 record for Suarez. Wheeler has a 12-6 record. I think those are pretty indicative, honestly, of just how even this season has been. But it's likely games where you're going to get significant outcomes from the bullpen one way or the other. You'll see good starting pitching on both sides. which just increases that likelihood that the most meaningful things happen late in the game. And that goes to what we were talking about earlier. It for the regular season, it has to be more than just two or three guys closing down a game for you. And this will be tested in a great way, I am certain, over this 20 games. They will need others in the bullpen to just keep you in it. Give your offense a chance against the other team's bullpen, right? Like, just give us anything, right? Just let the offense have an opportunity late. That when the Royals' bullpen is at its worst, it feels insurmountable, right? It feels insurmountable when you see those. If the Royals are trailing by a run or two, and you know you're about to get into the ugly part of the bullpen, it feels insurmountable right now.
I don't know if I would go that far, because I think that with the offense that the Royals have, you never feel like they're totally out of it. Although as of late, yeah, when they've been behind, there have been multiple situations this season where you've seen the offense try to get back into a game and they've gotten close, and then the bullpen has let them down. But I don't know if I would ever say it's insurmountable.
No, and I said it feels, I know it's not insurmountable. Yeah. Of course it's not, but it feels that way, right? Like if I'm watching a game and I see
it would feel insurmountable
deficit
for me if I knew that the offense didn't have that kind of pop to get them back in the game.
Again, it's not insurmountable, but the problem is, like, what the perfect microcosm was Wednesday. No, was Tuesday against the Angels. You knew, I mean, the Royals had it back like that. You're like, all right, no big deal. And then what happens? Very next inning, bullpen comes in, and it's not even like, it's just like a total throwaway. And you're like, God bless. Yeah. Like, that was terrible.
Well, let's just be real. I mean, Chris Stratton shouldn't find the field for the remainder of the season. He's not right. It's not working. You know, it's every time out. You know, I think he's going under an inning. Like, you know, the other night, he went a third of an inning and gave up
but
multiple
gotta
runs.
Put somebody out
I know
there,
you got to
right?
put like, somebody out there. And I can tell, and I know that Quatrero is like trying to test things, like trying to figure out who else can we actually lean on. And I get that, and I respect that. And you need to know who you're going to be able to trust. But
shoot. It's a roster issue.
It's not Chris Stratton. I can tell you that much. No. It's not Chris Stratton.
It's MacArthur first, I think. I think he's at least given us enough. He seems to have at least exercised the demon of before he lost the mojo, the little bit of mojo that he had. So I think it's him. I don't know what's happened with Long. They need Harvey back. I'll say that. Will Smith, I trust as little as I trust Stratton at this point. It was a nice little run he had, but he doesn't have that anymore. I mean, maybe Carlos Hernandez, can he move up into a more prominent role? I know they feel like they need him as their long guy, but at any point you could call up Alec Marsh. I mean, I assume Alec Marsh has lots of options. So can Hernandez come into a more prominent role? I think that's all of them. Is there anybody we're forgetting about there?
You know, Sam Long is not, you know, going to be the guy, I don't think. I mean, he's
well, I still trust
lately.
Him more than Stratton or Will Smith.
Sure, yeah. You know, do you trust Zerpa more than those guys? I mean, Zerpa had a nice little stretch earlier in the season, but it's not been good for him recently either.
No, he's been bad. Like, this is the problem, right? And this is why when I say it feels insurmountable. It's not insurmountable. Of course it's not. The Royals have been one of the best teams in baseball in scoring runs late in the game. But that doesn't do you any good if you're trailing and your bullpen just keeps, you know, every time you come back, they just keep giving up more runs and keep giving up more runs. And the Royals just aren't in a position at this point, I don't think, to run, you know, Schreiber, Bubich, or, I mean, Bubich is interesting, or Ursig certainly, when you're trailing. Because you expect to need them when you're leading and to enhance your chances of winning those games. It's a tough spot. Look, it's a tough spot. And everybody's going through it. And maybe the starting pitching will step it up a little bit, but they'll be okay. Again, I would tell you that I think if they navigate this at 500, they are in the playoffs for sure. Like that's what needs to happen. Can it be better? Absolutely, it can be better. Could it be worse and they still make the playoffs? Absolutely, it could still be worse and they make the playoffs. It depends largely on what everybody else does. But I think if they, I would tell you that if they're 500 over the stretch, they're in. That's where I'm sort of at with predicting things. Like if they can do that, I think they'll be fine.
Going back to the game last night, one thing that we didn't mention, it was another game where the Royals were able to score some runs, not a ton, but score some runs without an awful lot of production from Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino. It came from other areas in the lineup. MJ Melendez had a home run, and Kyle Isbell drove in the other two. And so, you know, it's been interesting over the stretch, you know, the 5 of 6 games that they've just won. Of course, the middle of the lineup is the key place for the Royals, and that's their bread and butter. But at the same time, the bottom of the lineup has been pretty effective. And of course, you know, a lot of that was Darren Blanco in the huge games that he had over the weekend. But last night it was Kyle Isbell batting ninth, you know, that was able to drive in 2 runs. And so they're getting that production from other places, yeah, which again is incredibly helpful because for a long time it was feast or famine for the Royals. If those, the three guys in the middle of the lineup didn't do anything, they weren't getting production anywhere else and the offense would fall flat. It's been a lot more consistent where even if the middle of the lineup can't contribute in a certain game, you've got other places that are.
I have almost no concern about the lineup anymore. And it can go cold, I get it. But they are 1,000 times more dynamic. And a credit to the players that, you know, they added DeYoung, which has been a really nice addition. But all the credit in the world goes to the players for collectively just being more dangerous and dynamic than they were for such a large portion of the early season. And I think that's helped, by the way, with Salvi, Vinny Pasquantino. I thought about this the other day, like if because you just want to think about the playoffs at this point. Like another team would be foolish to just come into a game with the approach of, well, just don't give those three anything to hit, right? Like they're so much farther than that. And so you look across baseball, I'm not sure that when you consider all factors to a playoff roster, right? When we're thinking about basically the roster that would take the field every day in a playoff series, I don't think that you can, other than maybe the Dodgers, but they're deficient in starting pitching, you could look at someone and just be like, that's a better roster top to bottom. Maybe deeper? Yes. Maybe a little deeper in the bullpen? Certainly. But top to bottom, they got the most productive middle of the order in baseball. That is a fact. They have as deep a starting rotation 1 through 5 as there is in baseball. That is a fact. And now they have a closer who has absolutely been lights out and a couple of decent, we'll call them, options to set him up. If they can get there, this is a team to not just get to. This is a team 100% built to win in October.
It is. And I think that that's why going into this stretch of baseball, my expectation is over 500. And I know it's a difficult stretch of baseball. But again, it goes back to what I said before. If you feel like this team is a legitimate contender in October, then now's the time to flex a little bit. And this is going to be the best opportunity for the Royals to get playoff ready by playing playoff teams in the next 20 games. To show really truly what you're made of. Here's my concern. If you get through the next 20 games and you're at 500 or below 500 after playing teams like the Phillies and the Yankees and, you know, the Guardians and that stretch of baseball that they have coming up, if you're sub 500, at that point, sure, they could still absolutely make the playoffs. And I don't, like you mentioned before, I don't think it disqualifies them from, you know, getting a wild card spot or a playoff spot in general. But what it does for me, even subconsciously, it makes me think, they might make the playoffs, but they're probably going to have a short run in the playoffs. But if you can go through this stretch of baseball and you can hold your own against some of the other top teams in the league, then that gives me that much more confidence in them in the month of October. And what it should do is it should give the team that much more confidence in the month of October. If they can get through this stretch in a successful way and they can beat the Phillies and the Dodgers and these other Yankees, these other teams, then they can go into October thinking we did it before, we can do it again. And we can legitimately make a run here.
And for the Phillies specifically, you're going to face two aces. Like, it's not, you know, you're not getting cheap wins if you do good things against the Phillies in this series. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, but that gets going. Enjoy the day off. There aren't a lot of them. Only one in that stretch of 20 games that we're talking about. So hopefully the Royals are getting well relaxed and rested before they start that series with Philly. Helps they don't travel either before that series. They get to stay home for the day off. We have some breaking news in the NFL on a trade. One of the absolute Super Bowl contenders in my mind adds what could be significant piece. We'll tell you about it. How's that for a tease when Sports Daily returns? Don't go away. It's all Brockton Caster. Thanks for listening to us on KFH. Thanks for watching us on all the different ways you can watch us, including 12 News Connected. We'll get to that NFL nugget. Does that impact the Super Bowl, you know, hopes of one team? I think it does. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on a Thursday. All right, so I teased this trade, Tommy. Jahan Dotson, who's had a very strange offseason in Washington, who's a talented young receiver who's had a pretty nice start to his career, for some reason was in the absolute doghouse in Washington. So much so that they're willing to trade him in division to Philadelphia. This is a guy who's been, you know, good in his first couple of seasons. He goes to a team that is an absolute Super Bowl contender who had an absolute need at third wide receiver. Last year was a bit of a step back for him, I will say, but he had 7 touchdowns in his rookie year, has had 500 yards receiving in each year. I like this for Philadelphia. I don't know what in the world was happening with Washington. It was bad enough that they trade a talented guy away from their rookie quarterback. So who knows, but if you're looking at Philadelphia, is there a more, and I don't think they're getting slept on necessarily, but Philadelphia is as much of a threat, in my opinion, to the Chiefs in their third Super Bowl in a row as any team in football. Like, if you're looking at the upsides around football, I think for teams, if you go through and, you know, I think the biggest contenders would be, you know, Baltimore, Cincinnati, you might put the Jets in that category, depending on what you feel about Aaron Rodgers. I'll never write off Josh Allen, but Niners, Lions, Eagles, probably in the NFC. If you look at all those teams and think about upside, like if all things go well, which of those teams are the best? I think the Eagles are right there or ahead of anybody. I mean, remember what they added to that defense. I don't know what happened in Philadelphia last year. It was bizarre. They added Saquon Barkley. Now they've added a third wide receiver that's far better than what they had. If they just get back to form to what they were 2 years ago, I think their upside is as high as any team in football.
Their roster was good last year. Their roster is even better this year.
Yeah.
The issue has been Nick Sirianni, and that was a lot of the conversation a year ago when they were sliding and things were not working well for them. And it really kind of started when the Eagles beat the Chiefs in the regular season. After that point, the Eagles just kind of fell apart. And it seemed like there was some discontent growing between some of the players and Nick Sirianni. And, you know, kind of that the Nick Sirianni shtick was kind of starting to wear thin a little bit. There were even rumblings that the Eagles might have made a change after the season away from Nick Sirianni, which would have been wild considering, you know, Sirianni led them to a Super Bowl against the Chiefs a couple years ago. So, you know, I do think that that's going to be part of it. It's going to be a matter of whether or not Sirianni can, you know, kind of right the ship a little bit and maximize the roster that he has, especially considering that it's better with the additions on defense. You mentioned Saquon Barkley, which that's one of the more, I think, slept on acquisitions in the offseason. Sure. You know, everybody focuses on things like Derrick Henry going to the Ravens and all of that, but Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles could be another game changer for them. So, and that was also, you know, in the division as well, and Barkley goes to a division rival. So I do think that that's all on paper better than a year ago. It's just going to be a matter of how Sirianni manages that.
And think about with Saquon. He has been on some dreadful offenses, dreadful. Shane Steichen leaving Philadelphia really hurt them, certainly. And I think most people feel like he's going to be a decent, but that to me is what, like, they just, I last year was so strange for them. I don't even know how to explain it, but I highly doubt it happens again. I'll say that. And you add Saquon Barkley, who's been, I mean, I'm trying to remember back early in his career. Has he ever been on a good offense? I'm not sure that he has. He's certainly not been on an offense as dynamic as what Philadelphia is going to run out there. He could feast. He's really, really talented, right? So I'm with you. I think I don't know that this particular move changes like the power structure in the NFC, but man, if they can get the best of what Dotson has tantalized, it probably puts them. I might move them ahead of San Francisco. I don't know. Like, they're so close, and I think Detroit deserves consideration, but it's going to be tight. Again, like, how many teams can actually win a Super Bowl? It's the Chiefs, certainly, the Ravens, the Bengals. I still am going to put the Bills there, even though I can't find it. I just will. I think the Jets have to be there. The Texans certainly can be there. And then it's just those three teams in the NFC, but man, did they get stronger. And Chiefs are the leader in the clubhouse. We know that. But remember how razor thin it's been for them to win the two Super Bowls that they won. If you're a Chiefs fan, somebody who we talk about them every day, I don't like that the Eagles just got Jahan Dotson. Because in a razor thin world in the NFL, maybe that's the difference in the way a Super Bowl goes. You know what I mean? Like, that could absolutely be a factor there.
Yeah, I mean, and going back to your question about Barkley and whether or not he's ever been on a good offense, not really. And
I don't think so.
You have to go, I mean, the 2022 season was the only year that they made the playoffs when Barkley was there. But even then, we're talking about not a great offense. I mean, Brian Daboll came in his first season and led them to the playoffs. But it was still, you know, it wasn't like a super dynamic offense for them.
I'm so ready for the NFL. Are you more ready? This is a weird question. Are you more ready for college football or the NFL?
I think I'm actually more ready for college football.
Almost always the answer for me is NFL, and it probably still is, just because it comes with fantasy football and it comes with the betting aspect and all that stuff. College football is as close as it ever has been because of the excitement around the two schools we follow the most closely and the expanded playoffs. I'm curious to see in my own brain, as I'm consuming this all year, if college makes any headway for me where the NFL has always been. I think there's a decent chance. I think there's a decent chance. We've had just a little bit that we've talked about both of those today. I think I might have butterflies, Tommy. And that's embarrassing, but it's true. Getting the tours. By the way, getting the countdown to kickoff tour and the Rising Star road trip over at 12 News in Ketchup, Kansas, that's getting me excited. It does every year. We are ready for fall sports, football included. And if you missed any of that, so we're going to have Brandon and TJ join us on Fridays. They'll help us make picks. They're also going to help us preview high school football. And so I say that to say, if you're ready for high school football, if you've got kids going into high school football, the high school football audience is always evolving because it graduates. Like the consumers also graduate along with the kids. If you need to get ready for it, catchkansas.com, which will, you know, feature greatly here through a partnership, has all those previews going online right now. And people have been getting so annoyed that they can't see them because of the political convention right now. Which I'm right there with you, I promise you. But they're there at catchitkansas.com. So if you're missing them because you can't stay up late because we get this fan fest happening now for the second time this cycle. We had it once already on one side of the aisle. Now we've got it with the other. You can find those at catchitkansas.com. They're all posted there for you. I'm telling you, Tommy, I am going to lose my mind before this week's over if I have to talk one more time about the musical performers at a political convention or, you know, like, I'm just sitting here thinking, and this is a little bit of your world. All I can think about is these jerks are getting free airtime.
Oh,
they should be for this airtime.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it drives me insane. Like, yeah. Why do we do this? God, it just makes me. There are a few things that really get under my skin, and I try not to let things get under my skin. This is one of them that really bothers me. Giving mega corporations free airtime also really bothers me, but this feels the exact same way as when we talk about, hey, Starbucks has its new flavor launch. Like, Starbucks didn't pay for that.
Speaking of airtime, we get airtime tomorrow, right? Isn't that tomorrow?
Ah, yeah. Well, we are – okay, so – tomorrow, an hour of tomorrow's program is going to air alongside, I think it's the pregame festivities to the NFL on CBS preseason game on Sunday, which is the Broncos game. So as a part of that pregame coverage, you'll see an hour of this show. The second hour tomorrow will go there. We're you know, as a part of this partnership, we're going to introduce a newer, you know, group of people to what we do here. So we're really excited about that. Glad you said that, because tomorrow's show format may be just a little bit different. We're going to really gear that, you know, that second hour as a standalone hour that's also going to air on television, on broadcast television, not on our normal 12 News Connected partnership. So that's coming this weekend. Should I wear a Hawaiian?
Please don't.
I might.
For the sake of our show and the future of it, please don't do that.
I have a, if you're a pro wrestler, I have a Razor Ramon, the old pro wrestler. I have a Hawaiian of him. I got some thinking to do now. That'll be tomorrow on the show. Don't go away. We'll tell you what's on the network today. Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.